The reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 24 through 33, where Jesus tells us, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and drink? And your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not as dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown on the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of heaven above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Seek the kingdom of God above everything. Be submitted to the kingdom and his principles. You know, one of the things I didn't think to mention as we were talking about Easter, as we get into this sermon, is the tickets that are in your bulletin. Did you notice those? So you have a homework assignment to try to find 10 people to give these tickets to. And you don't even have to really say much. Just say, "Pastor said I got to give this to somebody," and give it to them. And let the ticket do all the work if you're afraid to go through the process of inviting them to Easter. But that's just a tool for you to use to be able to let people know what is happening this Easter and to help them remember as we get closer to Easter time. Good morning. Welcome to the Living Water Church. You know, today we're starting a new three-part series called In the Footsteps of Jesus, The Path to the Cross. And this is going to lead us up to the Easter Sunday that's just 3 weeks away, that those tickets are there to help you invite people to. I hope you've been praying for some people and looking for those opportunities to invite them. But really, we're looking over the next 3 weeks to be tracing these final steps of Jesus, the last 20 or so hours of his life. You know, I wish I could take all of you on a trip together to the Holy Land as part of this series. And as you know, right now, Israel's not the safest place for us to visit. But if the war wasn't going on, I wish we could just all go there and see these things for ourselves. To be able to go to Jerusalem and then go to that Garden of Gethsemane the night that he went right before he was crucified, and then go to those places where he was on trial with the Jewish and then the Roman officials, and where he was condemned to death, and be able to walk that path that Jesus walked after those trials up to that hill called Golgotha, where then he was crucified next to two criminals. But even though we can't be there in person, we can still trace the steps of Jesus to the cross and find meaning in each of those moments. And so Thursday night, Holy Week, Jesus was having dinner with the disciples. They're celebrating the Passover. And at this Last Supper, it's about 6 p.m. in the evening. And then Friday by 9 a.m., Jesus is hanging on a cross. And by 3 p.m., he's breathed his last breath. It all happened so quickly, only about 20, 21 hours, but every moment was full of purpose and meaning. So during this series, we're going to go step by step through these three locations that Jesus visited during the final moments of his life. And at each stop along the way, in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the trials, And on the cross, we're going to see three characteristics, one characteristic each week that Jesus displayed so clearly. Three characteristics God wants us to develop, that he wants to develop in us, and so that we can grow up spiritually, so that we can grow deeper with God than we ever have before. And so today I want us to begin with that first step on the path to the cross, the night before Jesus died, where they all gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem with his 12 disciples for the Last Supper. And during this final meal, they did so many things together where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And then he initiated the very first Lord's Supper, what we call communion. And then before that Last Supper was over, Jesus had identified who his betrayer was, Judas Iscariot. And it's after Jesus finished this meal with the disciples that we pick up today's story. So if you look in your notes, the footsteps of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, we're going to begin in Mark chapter 14. We'll start verse 32. And it says this: they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him and became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watching with me." Notice that it says Jesus' soul, his inner being, was being crushed with grief, even to the point of death. Jesus knows what's coming. The suffering, the pain, the humiliation of the cross, the things that he was going to have to face. And so he takes his three closest disciples, his closest three friends, to a secluded place in the garden because he needs their support. And so imagine the intensity of this moment of prayer. In verse 35, he went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me." Now, a couple of things to note about this prayer. Jesus used the Aramaic word for Father, Abba. Would you circle that word Abba if you're taking notes? It's significant because this is an intimate, personal word. It's a word that a child would use as they call out for their dad. It'd be like saying, "Daddy." Very intimate word. It's a parent that you're very close to. Jesus taught us to pray to God in the same way, especially when you're having some fear or when you're just in this distress like Jesus was here. God is your Abba Father. He's your heavenly dad. But I want you to miss this part. Jesus is fully God, but he's also fully human as well. And Jesus felt the fear. He felt pain. He felt the stress. He's in anguish here. And he asked his Abba Father, "Please, if there's any way other to do this, I don't want to go through this." But then Jesus prays the most incredibly powerful prayer in the whole Bible. "Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Would you underline that? This is part of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane that we're just going to kind of focus in on today. Jesus said, "Heavenly Father, Abba, I don't want to go through this. If there's any other way, I don't want to do this. If we can save the world any other way, let's do that. Yet, God, I want your will to be done, not mine." Now, we're going to come back to that in just a moment, but then the story continues, verse 37. "Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, 'Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray, so that you'll not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak.'" Now remember, it's really late at night at this point. Jesus needs his disciples, but they're just so exhausted, and they don't really understand what he's going through. And so verse 39, "Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, 'Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest.'" You know, they'd fallen asleep now 3 times. And then he said, "But no, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." And at that moment, then Judas arrives with his group of soldiers, and he gave Jesus a kiss on the cheek so they would know who he was, and Jesus didn't resist. They took him away in the dark of night so no one could see. They took him to the high priest's home for the first of six bogus trials that he would have to go through in just a matter of hours. And that's where we're going to pick up our story next week with the trials. But for today, our focus is on this first stop, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the life and death decision that Jesus made in prayer that night. And here's the reality. It was a life and death situation for Jesus, you know, but it was also a life and death decision for us as well. Because our eternity hung in the balance as well with Jesus being willing to go to the cross for our sins. And then with that phrase, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And Jesus submitted to the will of God. And he set in motion the events that would lead him to dying on the cross for our sins and for the sins of all humanity. And you know, Jesus, he could have walked away from this moment. Jesus could have called on heaven's angels to come down and protect him in that moment, but he didn't. He submitted to the will of the Father, and he gave himself willingly for the salvation of the world. And that leads us to the word today of the focus of today's message, and that is submission. This is the characteristic that Jesus exhibited that he wants to develop in us. Submission. Now, submission is kind of a tricky word because we kind of have a negative view of the word submission. If you think of it as giving up or giving in, you know, we think of that MMA fighter who taps out. But in this context, submission is one of the most powerful and positive words in the English language. It means putting God's will above my own personal desires. That's submission. When I put God's will above my own thoughts, about my own plans, about my own desires. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus submitted to God's will. And he put God's will of saving all of humanity, dying for the sins of the world above his own personal desires of saving his own life and escaping the humility and pain that he knew he'd have to face on that cross. And from this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, our first stop to the path on the cross, we learn that this is what God wants from us as well. Submission. God wants us to put his will, his ways, above our own personal desires, our own personal thoughts of how things should go. And if you're serious about going deeper in your relationship with God, if you're serious about going deeper in your faith, if you want to experience God's best for your life, it all begins by saying, God, you are God, and I am not. You know more than I do. You can see further than I can see. So my prayer is, not my will, but your will be done. God, I want to put your will above my own personal desires. And so as I was preparing for this sermon, could just sense that God wanted to do a little bit of meddling. And as a pastor, you know, when you start meddling, you know, I just want you to blame the message, not the messenger, but the person who gave the message, okay? So as I meddle, sense the Holy Spirit in all this. Because I know because of human nature that right now there are probably a few of us who are really hurting, and you're not living the life God created you to live. And the reason is because you're living life your way. You're calling the shots. And you kind of think you know better than God, or you decided that the world's ways of doing things make more sense to you than God's ways of doing things, and you're following your own desires. And right now, in that thing, you're ignoring God's will, and because of that, it feels like you're floundering. You're experiencing the consequences of doing things that looked right to you, rather than staying in the boundaries that God has given to us in his word, the Bible. And that's why Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane is so important. If we can learn what it means to live this life of submission to God, let me tell you, you can discover God's true purpose for your life. And you can go deeper with God, and you can avoid a whole lot of heartache and negative consequences. And you can know God as Abba Father, as your Abba Father. So this morning I want to spend a few minutes just kind of answering this question. How can we live a life of submission to God so we can experience God's very best will for our life? And here's the first step. And it begins with remembering. Remember the blessings of submitting to God's will in the past. Remember the blessings of submitting to God's will in the past. Last week, we started with the first step of remembering our blessings just in general. This week, we're specifically remembering the blessings that have come to us because we chose to do things God's way. And there's power in memory. If you can remember your past with them, and you can think back to those times in your life where you submitted to His will and you did what He was asking you to do, I bet you're going to find that even if it wasn't the easiest time in your life, that those times always ended up for your very best. In Psalms chapter 77, verse 11, it says, "But then I recall of all you have done, O Lord. I remember. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago." Maybe right now you're just kind of struggling to submit to God's will above what your own personal desires are wanting. Maybe it's in a relationship you're in. Maybe it has to do with your career or your finances. Maybe there's this big decision and you're having a hard time submitting to what God is leading you toward. And I get that. Now listen, this can be kind of scary. But if we can pause and remember and think back for a moment, think about those times where you've been hurt the most. Those times when you just felt lost, you felt discouraged, you felt so confused. I bet for the most part, those were times when you had refused to listen to God. The times when you refused to submit and when you did things your own way and it cost you. So listen, God has never let you down when you submitted to Him. It might have taken you through some difficult times. It might have caused you to do some things you didn't think you could do in the moment. But He is always with us when we submit to what He's asking us to do. He'll walk right beside us as we're going through those challenges. And it becomes the best path for us in the long run. And so if you want to live a life of submission to God and experience His best, it starts by remembering those blessings of submitting to God's will in the past. And once you've kind of got that in your mind, then your next step is to recognize areas of my life where I need to submit to God's will. Just kind of open your eyes. Maybe even ask God to show you. And see those areas of your life where you need to submit to God's will. And this is an important step because right now, there are probably some areas in your life that you have not submitted to God. And you might not even realize it right now, but there are parts of your life where you've been putting your own personal desires and your own thoughts about things, about God's will for your life. And there are parts of your life where you're just not submitting to that, to what God wants. Maybe it's an area of your life where you've never even considered asking God what He wants you to do. God, what do you want me to do in my dating relationship? God, what do you want me to do in my marriage or with my kids? Maybe it has to do with more about what you're putting into your mind. Have you ever thought about submitting to God when it comes to the shows that you watch on TV or what you look at online or how much time you're spending on social media? What about your finances when it comes to spending? What you're buying when it comes to how much debt you're allowing yourself to accumulate when it comes to what you're giving back to God. You ever thought about how God wants me to manage my finances and submitting to Him in that area? Or let's just take a moment right now and just pause and reflect. Just take a moment and ask God, is there something right now that I need to submit to you? Are there areas that I'm trying to control myself instead of doing things the way that you want me to be doing them? That's why this next verse, we see Psalm 139, verse 23. It's so important. And so if you go ahead and put that next slide up there, Psalm 129, I'd like us to read this out loud together, starting with those words, search me. You see that? Let's read this out loud. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Search me, O God. Point out anything. Is there another? Did I put that next one? No. So, you know, point out anything that offends me. Would you lead me along the paths of everlasting life? This is a deep, soul-penetrating verse. David says, point out anything that's offending you, O God. Is there anything where I'm walking outside of what you want for me? And so if you're wrestling with God on something, you know what it is right now. You've known it's been part of your life. You've been working on this. You've been struggling with it. You know what it is. You just have this big decision and you're feeling anxious about it and you're afraid, you're just not sure what your next step should be. Have you taken this decision to God? Are you choosing based on your desires? Are you choosing based on what you believe God's will is? What are some areas in your life you haven't submitted to Him? And if you're wrestling with it, would you be willing to share that on your connection card? I would love to be praying with you. You can kind of put it in cryptic language if you don't want to be real specific about what it is. That's okay. God will know. You can just kind of put that in the prayer section of the prayer card and put, this is for Pastor Todd only. But I'd love to be praying with you as you're trying to discern, you're trying to wrestle, you're trying to release what you want. I'm trying to say, God, I want your ways, but I kind of like my ways better. Help me to release this to you. If you'd share that, I'll support you in prayer with that. But here's the truth. You can't submit an area of your life to God, which whether it's a relationship, your career, or whatever, until you first recognize that this is an area that you refuse to let go of, to trust Him with. So what are you fighting with God for control? And I encourage you to pray right now and ask God to help you identify. Just say a simple prayer. God, is there something that I need to be working on right now where I've been holding on to it and not releasing it? And then when you understand what that wrestling's all about, then the next step of living a life of submission is to relinquish control of that area of my life that's outside of God's will. It's letting go. It's submitting. Relinquish control. First, I need to remember what God has done and how He's been faithful to me in the past. And then I need to identify it, and then I need to relinquish it to God. What Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane was an incredible act of submission. He relinquished complete control to God and His will. He was willing to go all the way to the cross for us. And in doing so, He made God's grace, the forgiveness of sin, available to anyone who would accept it. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's a great story, but that's Jesus. The salvation of the world doesn't depend on me submitting to God. And I get that you're not Jesus, and the salvation of the world might not hinge on you, but here's the thing. The salvation of one person might. The salvation or the survival of a marriage might. The hope of one person getting through an incredibly difficult time in their life might hinge on your willingness to submit to God, even when it doesn't make sense in that moment. And so here's an example that might hit just a little closer to home. Paul and Silas, two of the first century missionaries we read about in the book of Acts, they were traveling together, telling people about Jesus. They're starting churches, and they had this plan that they wanted to do. It made complete sense to them. So look what happened. Acts chapter 16, verse 7. It says, they're coming to the borders of Mysia, and they're headed north for the province of Bithynia, and that's where they wanted to go. That was their plan. It made complete sense, but again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So here they have a choice. They hear Jesus saying, no, this isn't my will to go into this place, and so I want you to go a different place. And they could have said, well, that doesn't make sense to me, God. It's right here. Why should we avoid it? But they didn't. They listened to it. And so they just said, and it continues, instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. In other words, they relinquished control of their trip. I mean, who knows what might have happened had they gone there? Maybe things would have completely fallen apart for them in that area. We don't know what God is trying to protect us from or why he does things from different times in his will as he directs us. But we know it's always for the best. It's the best path for us when he gives these kind of things, when we submit to his leadership. So let me just ask a straightforward question. Right now, are you willing to relinquish control of those areas in your life that you know are outside of God's will? And maybe these are areas that you never thought about submitting to God before today, and the Holy Spirit is bringing these things up to your mind. But let me be very clear. Once the Holy Spirit has pointed it out to us, these are now areas that we're being disobedient in or even rebellious toward. And most of the time we know, even as Christians, that many people, they struggle to submit to God. You know, there's a lot of different areas we can be struggling. Maybe it's a drinking problem, but we just refuse to submit to God in that area. Maybe it's anger. It's just getting the best of you. Or maybe it's not honoring God or your family with choices that you're making about your sexuality. You know it's not God's best for you. It's causing things to just kind of get messed up for you. Maybe you've recently just been treating your family like garbage. Stress has gotten onto you, and you're saying things you shouldn't be saying, and you're just getting unreasonable. You know, maybe for you the issue isn't giving up alcohol. Maybe it's tobacco products, and it's hurting your pocketbook. It's hurting your body, but you just haven't been willing to take the steps that will take to get that out of your life. Maybe it's the more socially acceptable sins like eating too much food or carrying around a negative spirit or giving in to, listening to, and then repeating, sharing the latest gossip. And these are areas in your life that you know you haven't submitted. They're just kind of out of control, but you refuse to submit to God in that area. And God has been saying to you, I want you to give that to me. I want you to submit to me on this and watch me bring order out of the chaos. Watch me bring life out of those ashes. And then some of you, right now God is talking to you and you can sense the tension in your chest. Your stomach hurts. You can just feel God tugging at your heart. You can hear God saying to you, and the only way that God can communicate to us, you need to let go of this. You need to submit to this area of your life. Don't miss out on this opportunity today to relinquish that area to God right now. So Acts chapter 3, beginning with the verse 19, it says this, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away." And then look at this promise, verse 20, "Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord." Whatever God is asking you to relinquish to him, you can repent of that. You can give it to him and say, God, I'm sorry for putting my desires above what your will is in this life. Forgive me today. I submit this to you. And not only will God forgive you, but he promises to bring refreshment. He promises to bring blessing to that area in your life. But here's the thing. When you submit in your life to that area, when you relinquish that's outside of God's will, let me be clear, this is not a one-time decision. It's not a one-time decision. Instead, here's the next step. Recommit to a daily life of submission. Recommit to a daily life submission. If you're following in your notes, there's a couple of words, that two and A, just cross that out. That's a misprint. And it'll make a lot more sense. Recommit to a daily life of submission. In other words, submission is this daily task. It's not something where you can relinquish to God just once and you say, okay, God, I submit this to you and then you're done. You can walk away from it and be fine the rest of your life. That's not usually how it works, because tomorrow, what you're going to find in that area that you submitted to God today, that you're going to find tomorrow, your personal desires are going to try to jump over God's will again. And this is a daily battle for a while where you just have to submit to God every day. Where you have to put God's will above your own desires every day through prayer. Sometimes it's even moment by moment. And the best way to do this is with that prayer where you say, God, today, your will, not mine. I want to follow you. I mean, pray the words of Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, and the Lord's Prayer. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, maybe even personalize this verse. Will your will today be done in my life as it is in heaven? God, your will above my desires today. And it's too much to try to just submit to God for the whole week, let alone for the rest of your life. This is a day by day by day walking with God, struggling with it until one day you realize, wow, it's gone. I finally released it. God has taken care of it. And then you still got to watch because they can sneak up on you again as you realize you want to stay submitted in His ways above the ways that is our ways. Your will be done as it is in heaven. God, may your will be done in my relationship today as is in heaven. God, may your will be done in my finances and my career and my thought life, in my family, in my words, in my free time. May your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Let that be a daily prayer. Just start your day with submission. Now, today we've been with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we learned from his example how we can submit to God's will above our own desires so we can experience God's best for our life. And here's the final step. Reflect. Reflect on Jesus' submission for me on the cross. Reflect. Ultimately, that's what this season and this series is all about, the season of Lent. It's about reflecting on what Jesus has done for us on the cross, how he submitted his own desires to God's will, so that you and I can have eternal life. So let's go back to the garden, to Jesus' powerful words of submission. A key verse today, Mark chapter 14, verse 36, just that short part of that verse, I want your will to be done, not mine. I want your will to be done, not mine. Let's just take a moment to reflect on Jesus' act of submission for you. When he gave up his rights as God and ultimately his life, he loves you that much. And that kind of love, it kind of draws us. That kind of sacrifice, it pulls at us so that in response we end up submitting our lives to God and we let him be Lord. And so I want to end this message by just looking at three possibilities for your life. Okay, on the back of your notes up here on the screen, you know, I want you to see this graphic. And the first possibility, if you could put that up on the screen for me. There we go. First possibility on the left. That first circle represents a person who does not follow Jesus. You know, this is the secular life. This is a person that's not a Christian. You know, the self is represented by that big S, and it's sitting on the throne. And the cross of Jesus is outside of this person's life. And so this person isn't a Christian. And then the smaller black circles inside of that big circle represents different parts of your life, your family, your hobbies, your work, and all the things that you juggle in your life. And I want you to see how chaotic that life is. When there's no order, when it's self-controlled, when we try to be in control, and that's the secular life. The second circle, the one in the middle, represents a person who does follow Jesus. They're a Christian, they've given their life to Jesus, but they haven't fully surrendered their life to God yet. And this is a self-directed life. Paul called it the carnal life. The cross of Jesus is in your life, but the self is still fighting for control, trying to be on that throne, trying to make most of the decisions in your life. And this is where many, many Christians, even Christians who have been Christians for a long, long time, this is where many of them are at. It's where you haven't submitted every area in your life to Jesus, and you're just wrestling with God constantly for control, and because of it, you're struggling to find order. You're struggling to find peace and purpose in your life. You know, your life is still in chaos, even though you're a Christian. But then look at the third circle. This third circle represents a person who has put God's will above their own personal desires. This is called the sanctified life. Jesus is on the throne. Christ is in first place. This person continually prays, not your will, God, not my will, but your will, God, be done. And notice when you're submitting your life to God that it brings into alignment all those other areas of your life. And here's why. When you're in control, you're trying to be God. You're trying to make all those things work together. You're juggling all these things and you're finding you just can't do it because you're not God. But when you submit to God, He can handle it. He can handle any challenge that life throws at you, and He has this way of bringing order out of chaos when we can't. And so let me ask you a personal question. Just looking at those three different pictures, which circle best represents your life and what it looks like right now? And I want you to be honest with yourself for a minute and just put in your notes a check on which one of those circles represents you. And this is just for you, no one else to see. This is just you and God and trying to work through, where am I spiritually right now? And the sad truth is many people want Jesus in their lives. You know, they want to go to heaven, they want God's blessing, but they still want to be the one calling all the shots. They want to be the one in control, and so they end up living their life in this chaos. But in the garden, Jesus reminds us to submit our lives to Him. So one final question. Ask you a moment, which one of those circles best represent your life right now? Let me ask you an even more important question. Which circle do you want to reflect your life right now? You know, I'm going to pray in a moment, and as I do, if you identified yourself in that first circle, if Jesus is outside of your life right now and you're not a Christian, in a moment I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus to come into your life, to receive that salvation, to let Him be leader of your life beginning today. And if you mark that second circle, where you say, I'm a Christian, but I'm struggling with God on something, not letting Jesus be completely in charge, I pushed Him kind of to a side corner. You know, I want you to decide today that you're going to pray that prayer of submission, that you're going to put His will above your own personal desires starting today. So one final verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It was the end of the passage that was just read for us, where it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for being willing to send Jesus to this earth to be the example of what a surrendered life looks like. Thank You, Jesus, for being willing to lay down Your way for the sake of God's will. Because of Your faithfulness to God, we now have the ability to accept Your free gift of grace, God's forgiveness of sin. And as we are praying together, you know, if you mark that first circle, the secular life, God isn't in your life right now, I invite you to pray that prayer of salvation, where you just say these words in your heart that I say out loud, and just say, Heavenly Father, I ask You to forgive me of my sins, of the things I've done that I know are outside of what You want for me. And I ask You to come into my life and save me. I want to follow You as the leader of my life from this day forward in the fellowship of Your church. And the Bible says if you'll confess your sins and believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that you will be saved. If you prayed that prayer right now, God has promised He'll come into your life right now, immediately. And as we're continuing to pray, you know, if you identified with that second circle a moment ago, the self-directed life, God is in your life, but you're struggling with Him. You're wrestling. There's something you know that He wants you to let go of. Or there's something He wants you to do, and you've just been struggling to submit. Would you pray a prayer of submission with me today? And say, God, not my will, but Yours be done. God, may Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. God, I give you, and you just fill that in, whatever it is. Give it to him. Say it in your heart. Say what it is. There's something important about saying it, admitting to it, pinpointing it. Say in your heart whatever it is that you've been wrestling with God about. God, I give it to you. I'm tired of fighting your will. I'm tired of experiencing the consequences. I want you to have all of me. What a blessing, God, when we know that we're walking in the center of what you have for us. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.